Leviticus 25, verse number 10, says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you're listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We do appreciate the opportunity to be here today and want you to know that this is a ministry provided by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, the good folks over there. We appreciate them and the opportunity to be the pastor and their heart for the radio ministry, not only here but in the other outreaches that we have. We want to welcome all of our listeners on the different radio stations, WZAP in Bristol, Virginia, and then 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. It's just an honor, and we are appreciative that the Lord has opened these doors over the years to bring the messages that God has laid upon our heart and the teaching from the Word of God. Now, Noah's not in here today. Usually he helps us on the radio ministry, so we're missing him, and we'll try to do his part and try to do the best that we can. But I want to make just a quick announcement before we get started today, and that is next week I'm going to be in revival at the Zionville Baptist Church, and that is going to begin on Monday night, May the 11th, through Thursday night, May the 14th. And so we're looking forward to being over there with Pastor Dwayne Tester and the good folks at the Zionville Baptist Church. Services will start nightly at 7 p.m. And if the Lord leads for us to go further in the meeting beyond the Thursday, we'll certainly be open to that. But that's what we're praying about. That's what we're looking forward to. And once again, we'd like to invite you to come out and be with us for revival services at the Zionville Baptist Church. That's Monday, May the 11th through the 14th. Prayer room is at 6:45, and then the service begins at 7 p.m. Zionville is the church that is on the left when you're leaving North Carolina on 421 and right at the state line there. Beautiful white church. It's one of the oldest. It's one of the most historic churches in the county. You may not be aware of that, but we're looking forward to being at the Zionville Baptist Church. So I wanted to mention that, and we do appreciate that opportunity. Now, if you have been listening in, if you are a regular listener, you know that we just dealt with about, and I don't know, I never have looked it up. I have not kept count, but several weeks we spent looking at the subject of your liberty, your health, and the Bible. And we just took some time in the late winter, early spring to deal with that subject, and that was interesting. It's always one of my favorite subjects to look at. And so I wanted to let you know, if you are interested in going back and hearing any of those broadcasts, you can always go to our church website, mountlebanonbc.org. If you do an internet search for Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, ours will come up, and I think there's one in Mount Lebanon, Pennsylvania that comes up, but you know which one that you're looking for, and that's the one in North Carolina. But all of those and all of the sermons from the church and all of the Wednesday night Bible studies are posted on our church website, so we invite you to go there if you missed out on something. Now, today we're going to look at something a little bit different, well, a lot different, and we're just going to take a few weeks to sort of get caught up on some things, maybe hear a little and there a little, not a particular series. But today, I want us to look at the 14th Amendment, marriage, and the Supreme Court, thinking about those three things together, the 14th Amendment, what it says about marriage, if it says anything, and the Supreme Court. Most of our listeners, you probably know the Supreme Court is in the process of. Now, it's a long process, and the way I understand it, last Tuesday, they began to hear arguments for a case, but what they are in the process of doing is deciding whether or not the United States Constitution requires states to redefine marriage. This has been a issue in our country for the past several years, and it's escalating. It is happening all over the United States, and there's a lot of states that have put it in their constitution that marriage would be defined as one man and one woman. That happened right here in North Carolina. And then a few years later, a district court or some court comes along and they overturn the will of the people. And so this has happened. And then a few of the states, they rejected that. So this has gone before the Supreme Court. And that is what the Supreme Court is in the process of deciding right now. A decision will probably not come out until, and this is, I'm not giving a date, but the way I understand it, sometime in June or July. It'll be the summer before a decision is handed down. Now, the basis for this going before the Supreme Court is it is based upon the 14th Amendment, what they are saying. And you'll hear a lot about the 14th Amendment, but really about all you will hear from this amendment is the phrase equal protection. And those that are for changing the definition of marriage, they are saying that the Constitution provides for all persons equal protection of the laws. That is actually the phrase that comes out of the 14th Amendment. So you'll hear a lot. You won't hear a lot about the 14th Amendment, why it is and when it came about and how it came about and all that. But you'll hear that phrase over and over again. And this is how the news and the media and different groups frame things to make it sound good. You'll hear this phrase over and over again, equal protection under the laws. Well, I think most everybody is for equal protection under the laws. Now, I realize that what I'm talking about today is a very controversial subject. And when you talk about it, there's a lot of emotions, there's a lot of strong feelings on both sides. And a lot of people, they will never change their mind. And so, you know, we say sometimes it's a free country. And so it is. You can believe what you want to believe. You can feel strongly about what you want to feel strongly about. But what I want to do today, and for those that are new listeners, you may just hear this broadcast or part of it. You know, you may say, well, I would have said something different than that. But back when our state, the state of North Carolina, when this was before the people to vote on to change our Constitution, we took 6 or 8 or 12 weeks and dealt with this every week. What the Bible says, what the history of marriage is, what the word marriage means, marriage, matrimony. You know, I'm coming from a biblical standpoint. Marriage, matrimony comes from the word mater, which means to procreate, which means mother, which means to be able to bear children. And our argument from the Bible all along, or our stance from the scriptures all along, is that God made man and woman and put them upon the earth and said, go, be fruitful, and multiply. And so our stance is that that God is the author of marriage, is that he instituted it, that he named it. And it is wrong for man to come along and call marriage something that it physically cannot be. So we've dealt with this over and over many times before. But just sort of a one-time thing we're going to look at this week, what I want to deal with is specifically the 14th Amendment itself. Now, back last year, again, we went through the first 10 amendments, the what is called the Bill of Rights. I did not go any further than the 10th Amendment, and we took several weeks, and we went through First Amendment, Second Amendment, all the way through the Bill of Rights. We did not go past that. So today, this is something different. We're going to look at the 14th Amendment itself. Does it have anything at all to do with marriage one way or the other? Because this is the basis. This is what is being argued before the Supreme Court, that the 14th Amendment talks about equal protection under the law. And so does the 14th Amendment, if it does deal with it, if it does outline marriage, what we are to enforce concerning marriage laws. If it does, then we need to know what it says, and we need to follow it. It's already been voted on and put into, just like we would honor all the other amendments and follow them. If it does, then we need to know what it says, and we need to follow it. If it does not say anything about marriage, then this whole process of the courts deciding what the law is and changing the law of the states needs to stop. That has happened over and over and over again. Now, under our constitutional system, we have a representative form of government. Our representatives, they go to Raleigh, they go to the state capitol, they go to Washington, and they represent us. The congressmen and the senators are called lawmakers. They are not to just go up there and make laws off the top of their head, although we feel like many times, most times, that's what they do. But actually, the lawmakers, the representatives, represent the people, and the people make the law. The Supreme Court interprets the law. They are not to make new laws. They are not to go to the laws that are written and change laws and make them to be something that they're not. This is the real issue here. And if we continue to allow this to go on in our nation, then we're not a representative form of government. The government is not of the people by the people, but we are being lorded over by judges, by someone who it's really not their place to make new laws, only to interpret the law that exists that was made by the people. Now, we could get bogged down a whole lot in just talking about that. But so many of the states, I'm talking about North Carolina, Virginia, Idaho, I've lost track of how many states went through the constitutional process of amending their state constitution, going before the people, getting a majority. North Carolina did this. They put it into their state constitution, a law that marriage would only be recognized as between one man and one woman. And the courts have come along and change those laws, overturn those laws. That has happened over and over and over again. Now, there's a verse in the Bible I want to read, and it's encouraging. This is not something new that is happening in America, that judges would pervert and would take an authority upon themselves that they do not have. This is something that's happened for thousands of years in every country upon the face of the earth. King Solomon wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. Of course, he's a king. He's involved in the governmental processes, and he knows what he's talking about. And so the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse number 8, he said, "If thou seest the oppression of the poor, and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province." Now, when he's talking about violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, he's talking about exactly what he says, the perverting of judgment. Judges doing things under the banner of the law that they have no authority to do. He says, "Marvel not at that matter." Don't be surprised. That's always taking place. But then he says, "For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they." So he makes the case. There's always been a perverting of justice, but there's one that is higher than the highest. And of course, he's referring there to the Lord, to the God of heaven. And that's what he's talking about. I get comfort from that passage of Scripture when I begin to think about what goes on in America, what goes on in the political process. Now, I want to begin today by just explaining what the 14th Amendment is. Like I said, you'll hear a lot about the 14th Amendment, but what is it? How did it come about? It was ratified July the 9th, 1868, and it begins like this. Now, there's actually five sections in the 14th Amendment, but only the first one has anything to do with what we're talking about. But section number one, the 14th Amendment, simply says this: all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. And so that is the 14th Amendment. Now, the purpose, why do we have a 14th Amendment? The purpose was to prevent the states from discriminating against slaves that had been freed. 1868 is right after the Civil War. And so the slaves had been freed in our country, and the 14th Amendment was to make sure that none of the states discriminated against those slaves that had been set free. That is the purpose of the 14th Amendment, period. All citizens, no matter of their sex or their race, were to be protected of their life, their liberty, and their property. And this was equal. This was to make sure that there was equal protection under the law. Now, this is interesting to think about this and the timeline and what it meant. You know, when you pass a law, when you make an amendment like that, of course there's going to be repercussions down the line. And so it's interesting that just a little bit later, a little bit after that, the subject was brought up. Well, if all citizens are equal and they are to enjoy equal protection under the law and life, liberty, and property and all of those things, well, then what about voting? You see, the slaves were not allowed to vote. And so they said, well, what about voting? If we really believe that, if we're going to follow that, then should not that include the freedom, the right to vote? Now, the Supreme Court did not come along and say, yeah, that's what it means. Of course, that's what we implied that or meant that, and pass a law that the freed slaves could vote. They did not do that. What did they do? They again amended the Constitution of the United States. And so we have, after the 14th Amendment, we have the 15th Amendment. The 15th Amendment was ratified February the 3rd, 1870, so a couple of years later. See, these things take time. And so the 15th Amendment said the right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude. You see, that made sure that the freed slaves had the right to vote, February 3rd, 1870. All right, I'm talking about the political process of our country. How do we do things? How do we change laws? Does the courts just come along and say, well, that's what they meant, we're going to change it so they can vote? No, they went through the process, and the Constitution allows for a process for it to be amended so that important laws can be changed. Later on, after the 15th Amendment, several years later, somebody said, and this is a real quick summary of the whole situation, but the subject was brought up, well, women are citizens. And if women are citizens and they enjoy equal protection under the laws, and shouldn't they have a right to vote? Because you see, first they allowed the freed slaves to be able to vote, but only the men. No women whatsoever were allowed to vote. What about women? They're citizens. They're protected under the United States Constitution. Why cannot they vote? Again, the courts didn't say, well, you know, that's what they meant. I'm sure they meant that when they passed the 15th Amendment. They didn't do that. They went through the process again to amend the United States Constitution. The Supreme Court did not take it upon itself to interpret what they think they meant to say under the 15th Amendment. The whole government had to go through the process to change the law. And so they amended the Constitution. August the 18th, 19 and 20, we have the 19th Amendment. And it says the right of citizens of the United States to vote shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. Congress shall have power to enforce this article by appropriate legislation. Now, the United States Constitution has 27 amendments. There is a process to amend the United States Constitution. And so what I'm saying, and the case that I'm making today, is that it's not right to go back to the 14th Amendment, which was ratified in 1868 for the purpose of protecting freed slaves, and use that to change the definition of marriage. That is not the right way to go about what is trying to be done in our country today. To do it that way is a violent perverting of judgment and justice. It's going back into history, and it's saying, well, they meant, of course they meant to say this. That is not. And it's hard for me to get my mind around how somebody could say, yeah, we can do that way. That is not what that's talking about. For example, in 1868, homosexuality was a felony in every state in the Union. It was against the law. That's not what they were thinking about when they ratified the 14th Amendment. I don't think anybody in their right mind really thinks anyone was even thinking about marriage. They weren't thinking about marriage. They were talking about these slaves that had been freed, those in the South that still lived in that culture. They were thinking about them. That's what they had in mind. That's when they ratified the 14th Amendment. So, as a Christian, as a Bible believer, my prayer and what I'm hoping for is that the Supreme Court will make a decision based upon the law. If they do that, which is what they're supposed to do, then it'll be an open and shut case. I want to read from an article. I found an excellent article out of the U.S. Journal. And I've mentioned the U.S. Journal in the past, and it's a great paper. It comes out once a month. I interviewed Mr. Dan Stanley. He is a editor and part owner, and it actually comes out of Wisconsin. But anyway, there's a great article in the April edition, and it is by a man named Frank Turek from crossexamined.org. And he says the title to the article is "The 14th Amendment Cannot Require Same-Sex Marriage." And he quotes a Mr. Ryan T. Anderson, who wrote a column memo to the Supreme Court. Nothing in the Constitution requires states to redefine marriage. And here's what he said about that, Mr. Anderson. He said the overarching question before the Supreme Court is not whether an exclusively male-female marriage policy is the best, but only whether it is allowed by the United States Constitution. The question is not whether government-recognized same-sex marriage is good or bad policy, but only whether it is required by the United States Constitution. And that is what the Supreme Court is supposed to be looking at. Only whether it is required by the United States Constitution. Historically, the states have dealt with marriage and the laws concerning marriage. And the laws have historically always been recognized between a man and a woman. He says this in the article I thought was really good. I wanted to share with you. I've got a few minutes left. He said, despite all the talk about equal rights, everyone already has equal rights. Equal marriage rights. Every person has the same equal right to marry someone of the opposite sex. That law treats all people equally, but not every behavior they may desire equally. If people with homosexual desires do not have equal rights, than people with desires to marry their relatives or more than one person don't have equal rights. The born that way justification doesn't work either, because that same justification could make any desired arrangement marriage, which means the logic behind it is absurd. And I want to say just a little bit about that. There is a difference between rights, recognizing people's individual rights, and recognizing their behavior. And what the laws of our land, the courts of our land, are trying to do is to recognize certain behaviors that people have, and their preferences, we might say. But if you allow one, just for example, there's nowhere to stop. If we change the definition of marriage in our nation, all across the land, that it's between not only a man and a woman, but a man and a man and a woman and a woman, then we really have to change it for everybody that desires something different. And that is not something that is unheard of in our nation. If you know anything about the state of Utah and the Mormon Church, when they went west from Missouri, there was a big conflict between those settlers that went to Utah and the United States government. And the big conflict that they had was that the Mormons were teaching polygamy. And Joseph Smith, he had several wives. Brigham Young had several wives. Many of the early prophets in that church, they were polygamists, and they had several wives. And even today, now, the polygamists have split from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, which are called Mormons. But there is still those that call themselves Mormons. They say, well, they're the original ones. The others apostatized. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But maybe you've seen these TV shows about six wives, or I can't remember the name of it, but there's still a lot of people in Utah, Nevada, northern Arizona, places like that, that have more than one wife. So if we're going to say, well, we're going to allow this, then by reason, you've got to allow this. And there are people that say, well, I want to marry my cousin. I want to marry my sister. I want to marry my brother and my brother. You know, there's no ending to it. There's no ending to it. It's a very slippery slope when we begin to change the laws. Laws are there. They are in place for the safety of society. And when we begin to change one as important as marriage, it changes a whole lot of things, and it has a far-reaching impact. And so we are praying and hoping that the Supreme Court will just go by the law and what the Constitution says. If we do that, we'll be all right. If they don't, then they're guilty once again of perverting the law. And I still read Ecclesiastes 5:8. He said, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth. That means God is higher than the Supreme Court. God is higher than the president. He regardeth. He looks on. He knows what's going on. And there be higher than they. I really like that verse. It helped me as I studied this. Well, I hope it's been a help to you as you've listened in today. I do want to take just a minute. I think we got just a little time left. Tell you about once again the radio broadcast is called The Blessings of Liberty, and it is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. And we'd love for you to come out and visit with us. We have Sunday morning Sunday school for all ages at 10 a.m. and then at 11 a.m. our Sunday morning worship service. Then every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. our midweek prayer and Bible study. And for archived sermons and radio broadcasts, you can go to mountlebanonbc.org. That is mtlebanonbc.org. We hope you have a great day. Once again, thank you for listening in. As always, our prayers are for you, and we'd love for you to pray for us. So have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.